We're continuing in the series Go And. We've been reminded time and time again that the Christian life is not meant to be passive. We are called, we are commissioned, we're equipped. And today I want to speak to you on this theme. Go and use what God has given you. This is a call not to sit back in comfort or hide behind humility. It's a call for us to step out boldly in our faith, to step out in obedience. I said a couple of weeks ago, we are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. When we grasp that, we realise that there is so much that God has called us to do, so much that he expects us to do, and we need to be willing. God has given each of us gifts for a reason. At the Elim conference last week, prior to that, Mark Pugh, our general superintendent, had sent out a questionnaire for every minister and every church leader to complete. And the idea was that we would discover what our spiritual gifting is. And throughout the conference, we were looking at specific ways in which we can use as leaders the gifts that God has given to us. It will be no surprise for you, for me to reveal that Lloyd's apest gifts were apostolistic and prophet. The way that he's driven, the way that he acts, the way that he lives, you can definitely see there's an apostolic call on his life. Probably less surprising is that my apest gifts are teacher, prophet. Now, I always thought of prophets as the people who would be calling out the way that the Old Testament prophets did. Repent now, for the kingdom of God is near. The kind of turn and burn preaching of the people like Spurgeon. But actually, the prophetic gift is exercised by using scripture, by supporting everything that I teach with the word of God. Within our group of churches, there are those who have a primary gifting of shepherd. There are others who have primary gift of evangelist. And all of us work together to build God's kingdom. Just as God has given the church leadership individual gifts, he's given every single believer, every single follower, every single disciple spiritual gifts. Let me begin with a quote from R.T. Kendall. The greatest tragedy of the modern church is not that we lack spiritual gifts, but that we fail to use them. We're not saved just so that we can attend church. We're not saved just so that we can tithe. We are saved to do the work that God has called us to make disciples, to share the truth, to witness, to actually be active in helping other people know that there is a God, that Jesus is real, and that we can be saved by having a relationship with him. All of us have been saved to be an instrument that is used by God in this fallen and broken world that we live in. And God has given us all different gifts because he has a different purpose for each and every one of us, or a different way in which the gospel is proclaimed through each and every one of us. I'm so thankful that the Wednesday Bible studies are starting again, because I know that Anne has been given a teaching gift. And it is something that all of us need to experience so that we can grow in our knowledge, our love, and our faith in God. Each one of us is gifted for a reason. Now, maybe you're sitting there today and you're thinking, I'm not sure what my gift is. If you really want, I can give you a 25-question questionnaire for you to fill out in your own time and actually work out what your spiritual gift is. And all of us has got it, every single one of us. And actually, because we have supernatural gifts that are given to us, there is a supernatural call that is placed on every one of our lives. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Let's dig into the Word of God together. Let's understand how God calls us to go and use the gifts that he has given to us. Let's start in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I wonder if there's anything on that list that immediately springs out to you as something that you've done over the last week. Have you exercised any of those gifts? I'm not going to ask you to call it out, just think it through in your head. Was there a specific way in the week that's just gone that you served God, that you brought glory and honour to his name? The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church in Rome. It's a community that has diverse backgrounds. The church there was facing challenges both within and from outside. For the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul really deals with theology. But here in chapter 12, he turns to practical Christian living. The Greek word here for gifts is charismata, means grace gifts. And actually at conference last week, Mark Pugh said he prefers to refer to the gifts as graces because it explains that it's God working through each of us by his grace. Supernatural enablement, that's how we look at this. The Apostle Paul reminds us that these graces, these gifts are for doing certain things well. God's gifts have a purpose. They have a reason. They are not for our glory. They're not for our comfort. They are for the knitting together of his church, for the building up of his kingdom, for advancing his purpose and his plan. And note that Paul emphasizes faithfulness and joy in exercising the gifts that we have been given. Whether it's to prophesy, to teach, to serve, to give, to lead, or encourage, all of us require God's power to be able to do that, to be able to serve one another in love. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7 says this: there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. The Apostle Paul, he reminds us again that spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit, and they are given for mutual encouragement for the common good of our Lord's church. Gifts are diverse, but the purpose is the same, to bring glory to God. Consider Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. What this passage really highlights is that it's Christ himself that equips, and that he empowers every one of us to serve him. We're not always willing to serve. We're not always willing to do what God expects of us. Pouring a cup of tea after the service, that's too hard for many people in many churches, because they might have to actually make eye contact with another brother or sister. Or, there's the difficult one, they might have to smile as they say, "Tea or coffee?" We may laugh, but there are churches throughout this world where people refuse to do even the simplest of the things for the Lord. I'm thankful for those that we have within our fellowships that do volunteer of their time, that do use the gifts that God has given to them in many different ways. What are you doing for the Lord? Again, don't shout it out, just think in your head. How are you serving your brothers and sisters? Are you doing something practical? Are you praying for them? Are you picking up the phone to someone that you know is unwell and saying, "Hey, how you doing? How can I pray for you?" There are so many things that we could do that we choose not to. And those are just simple gifts. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Here's the kicker. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. The gifts that God gives to us are ultimately for his praise, for his glory. They are a powerful reminder that as we serve him, it is an act of worship. Now, worship isn't just singing in church on a Sunday morning. It isn't just raising our hands as we pray or sing. It's something that's meant to come from deep in our core. Spiritual gifts, they're not earned. They are freely given. And we are meant to serve our Lord. Is your heart driven with compassion for others? Are your actions driven by doing that which the Lord wants you to do, or just what you feel comfortable doing? I think in the modern world, there are so many that fall short of God's expectation of them. Instead of us asking, Lord, how can we serve you? We tend to say, Lord, I need, I want, I require. And yes, God does bless us. God gives us from his abundant riches in glory. But we really need to be seeking to serve others far more often than we do. Speaking God's glory, speaking and sharing his love with others. It's a simple thing, yet so many find it difficult. In all these verses that I've read so far, there's an application for every single believer. God's gifts are not just for the pastors. They're not just for the leaders. They're not just for the deacons. They are for every single person that is part of his church. So ask yourself, what gift has God given to you? Do you have the gift of encouragement for others? Do you have the gift of hospitality? Is it a gifting of teaching or leadership? There are so many ways that these things can be expressed. And whatever gift you have, use it for God's glory. R.T. Kendall, he wisely said this, spiritual gifts are God's love made visible. To neglect them is to neglect God's love to others. What's that verse? They will know that you are my disciple if you show love to one another. Yeah. That's another one of the things that Jesus said that we treat as a suggestion. Now, the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That was a commandment, but we consider it a suggestion. God has called us to be active with the gifts that we have. We treat our gifts, our graces, as if they're optional. But God does not give us grace gifts for us to choose to ignore them. He's given us grace gifts because he wants us to use them for his honour, for his glory. If we don't use them, we miss out on being part of what God wants to do. Do you remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25? Jesus taught a crucial lesson there. Those who bury their talents out of fear are rebuked, while those who invest wisely, talents are multiplied. The gifts, they're rewarded. We're meant to serve God with what he's entrusted to us. And that will bring blessing to others, but it will also bring joy and growth in our own lives. Can you imagine a lighthouse keeper who doesn't switch the light on in case it keeps him awake? Ships in the night sea, I mean, okay, there's GPS and everything now, so maybe lighthouses are less required than they once were. But lighthouses were built with a reason, to ensure that ships were not wrecked, to ensure that there wasn't destruction because there was a light that guided ships to safety. And friends, God has placed lights and gifts in us so that we can guide, so that we can encourage, so we can steer others away from spiritual destruction. Again, the statement of Jesus that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no way to God except through him. That's a truth, but we seem to have lost the urgency in communicating that truth with others. The world will say, oh, there's many ways. In fact, the world will say, there is no God. But we know what the truth is, friends. We have the Word of God. We have been changed. We have come into a relationship with a living God. We know that our sins have been forgiven. We know that we are assured of a place in heaven because we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Yet, are we showing love to other people by not sharing the truth? Yes, we might worry about offending people. The Apostle Paul called it the offence of the gospel. But I would rather offend someone with the truth that Jesus is Lord, that we must repent, that he is the only way. I would rather offend them than lie to them. But sadly, many of us, through our lack of words, are doing the same as lying. Your neighbours, your friends, dare I say it, people in our own family are going to hell because they've never heard of Jesus. It's not right. God has equipped us to share the truth, to share our testimony, to tell others so that they don't neglect God. The truth of the gospel is what saves. The truth of the gospel is what sets free. Belief in Jesus as Lord is the only way of salvation. But we worry. What are they going to think if I tell them? They're going to think I'm mad. They're going to think I'm balmy. Well, anyone who knows me knows I'm mad and balmy anyway, so I don't care. What was it I said last time that I was here? Oh yeah, let's be weird for Christ. The truth saves, the truth convicts. I mean, remember the first time you heard the gospel. Maybe you instantly responded. Maybe there was an instant change in your life. Or maybe you thought, oh, that person who's telling me that, they're off their rocker. It can't be true, it can't be real. And then over a period of time, God dealt with your heart. The Holy Spirit moved in your life and you realized that what you thought was so wrong was the way of salvation, the way of life. Let me encourage you to take a risk and actually tell someone about Jesus. What's the worst that can happen? Oh, I don't want to listen to that. What's the best that can happen? Lord, you're my Savior. Lord, I repent. Forgive me. I want eternal life in you. Here's a third profound truth from R.T. Kendall. The exercise of spiritual gifts is never for self-exaltation, but always for the glory of God and the building up of the body of Christ. This is a powerful corrective for any temptation that we might face. We cannot use our gifts for personal gain. It's not about us having recognition. It's not about us having comfort. It's all about serving our Lord, Saviour, our King. Am I sure of that? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Apostle Paul doesn't say, do something, do some, everything. Everything we do is for the glory of God. Whatever we do, whatever we say, how we live, how we serve, everything for his glory. Why? Because Jesus is our Saviour. Because Jesus is our Lord. When we were broken, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, before we even knew him, he loved us. Those people in our families, our neighbours, our work colleagues, who right now don't know Jesus. God loves them. And it's his desire that they not perish. But the only way of salvation is belief in Jesus as Lord. And if those people choose to continue to reject Jesus, they're choosing their eternal destination away from God. And God calls us to share truth in love. Our Lord was the very model of servanthood. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, it tells us that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus, God incarnate, he came not to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. His death, his burial, his resurrection. His resurrection was the ultimate gift for us, for all who will believe. the very source and power of our salvation, of our spiritual lives. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are forgiven. We're reconciled to God. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to come and sit in a church for an hour on a Sunday morning if we feel like it. Not what the Bible says, does it? We are saved to serve. We are saved to worship God. The scripture teaches us with all our body, mind, and soul. I don't believe in leftovers Christianity. I don't believe in giving God just what we feel like once we've done everything else in our day. God doesn't call us to leftovers Christianity. As the song says, He demands my soul, my life, my all. Have you ever sung the song, I Surrender All? Do you? No show of hands, please. We sing, I surrender all to Jesus. But we don't do it because it's too difficult, because it's too hard, because, oh no, that would interfere with my Sunday evening viewing on television. I couldn't possibly go to church twice on a Sunday. No. Oh, I couldn't possibly go to a Bible study during the week. No, that's asking too much. Anyone would think he died for me. Jesus gave everything so that we could live. He humbled himself to death on a cross so that we could be forgiven. And yet there are those who would call themselves Christians who do not do anything to show their love for God. Now remember, works doesn't save us. There is nothing that we can do to earn a better place in heaven than God has already given to us out of the goodness of his grace and mercy. But because we've been saved, because we love him, we are meant to serve him. Oh no, that's for the special people. That's for people like Bex and Kwame in the front row. She's a pastor's daughter and he's obviously trying to impress the pastor. And yeah, that's why he's come all the way from Reading today to be here in Rayleigh. Nah, it's not the truth, is it? Well, if it is, repent from it, please. Jesus is the perfect example for us. He is the benchmark, the hallmark that we as his followers are meant to follow. He was willing to do everything the Father asked him to, even there in the garden. May this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Here we have Jesus, fully God, fully man, in his humanity, crying out not to face the pain, the suffering, the shame of the cross, yet being willing to be obedient to the will of the Father so that you and I can be saved. Or go to a prayer meeting on a Monday night. Oh no, I couldn't do that. Now Monday night there's what's on a Monday night? EastEnders, Coronation Street. I've got to be home watching that. No.
That rubbish.
But for some, that the worship of soap operas is more important than the worship of the living God. Sadly, in most churches, the prayer meeting is the least attended. And quite often at prayer meetings, they are more like listening meetings for those that come along. In a room of, I don't know, say 20 people, perhaps half of them will not pray out loud. Now, I'm hoping that most of those people will be praying in their heads and speaking to the Lord that way, and not just taking it as an opportunity to rest, relax, or sleep. But God calls us to prayer. The history of the church shows that revival has come when people have prayed. The Hebridean revival started with two old ladies just praying. I thank God that we have more than two old ladies within Ashendon and Rayleigh. And I pray that they will be the prayer warriors that ignite a revival in our hearts. For all of us. All of us should be praying. All of us should be serving. Mark 10:45 says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Will God call you to give your life for him? If he calls you to the mission field, it's possible. But it's more about us giving our lives as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to him. It's not about what we want to do. It's not about where we want to go. It's how he wants to use us. That's what's important. And none of us are too old and none of us are too young to be used in prayer. None of us are too old or too young not to share the truth of who Jesus is. And all of us should be willing to serve our Saviour just as he was willing to give himself for us. Let's follow his example. Let's lay aside things which might hold us back. Let's be selfless in our service to others. Let's pray for our family, our friends, our neighbours, for the houses across the road. A few years ago, I spoke to one of the people that lives in one of the houses over there. And they said to me, "Oh, how long's that church been there for? 80 plus years? Oh, I never knew it was a church." Well, isn't the sign outside that says church a giveaway? "Oh yeah, but I've never seen anyone in there. You know, the doors are always shut." Someone who lives over the road, who could have the opportunity to hear the truth of who Jesus is, to be set free from the burden of their sin, to be guaranteed eternal life, didn't even know we were a church. Is that my fault? Should I be doing more door-to-door? Maybe. I live in a different village. How many of you that live in Rayleigh actually talk to people in Rayleigh about Jesus? And I know there's at least 14 other churches within walking distance of this one. But we are meant to be a beacon to the community. We are meant to be the ones that are reaching out. We are meant to be the ones who are seeking the lost. Are we? Tim Keller said this: "Christianity is not first about going to heaven when you die. It's about God's kingdom coming now as we live as servants to others." Have you ever sung "Build Your Kingdom Here"? That doesn't mean the building. That means the people. God is building a kingdom of believers that he is motivating to bring revival to this world. Change can come. Lives can be transformed. But God calls us to do it. The gospel it's a call to costly discipleship. The gospel is rooted in Christ's servant heart. I know this is an uncomfortable message. I wrestled with this one for a while. And I thought, there will be those that are in church on Sunday morning that this will speak to their hearts and it will energize them and they will be determined to do something for the Lord. And I also thought there'll be those that sit there like I'm asking them to go to the dentist and have an extraction without anesthetic. For some of us have lukewarm hearts. Just like the church of Laodicea, we're neither hot nor cold, we're lukewarm. And if you've ever read the book of Revelation, if you've ever looked at the Greek that's used there, the word that's often translated as spit, that Jesus will spit out the lukewarm church, the actual word that's used means vomit. I do not want to be part of a church that causes Jesus to vomit. I do not want to be a Christian that causes Jesus to vomit because I'm just lukewarm. But look at the churches in the 21st century, and there are those that are hot, there are those that are cold, and there are those that are lukewarm. And the same for the believers that go to those churches. Someone with a lukewarm heart doesn't have a servant heart. Someone with a cold heart really doesn't care. But those who are on fire for the Lord, those who are on fire for the Lord in this generation will reach the lost, and the next generation will grow. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13. "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." The Apostle Paul here is talking about, it's a profound declaration he's making. It's a timeless declaration that all of these gifts, all acts of sacrifice, all acts of worship, they are utterly worthless without love. Are you showing love for your Lord? Now, love is merely one of the virtues, one of the gifts or graces. But love must be at the centre of our lives. It must be what drives us. It must be what motivates us. And the word that's used here is agape, which means selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. If you were in hospital, I'd visit you, as long as you gave me money for a Starbucks. If you were in hospital, I'd visit you, but I would expect you to bake a few cakes before you go to hospital, just in case I need a snack when you're there. We're not meant to put conditions on our love. We're not meant to put conditions on our service. We are meant to be willing to go. Oh, hang on, that's our theme for this year, isn't it? Go. Sadly, when Christians are challenged to go and do something for the Lord, there are those that will say, okay, I'm going, bye, and they'll go in the opposite direction. We're meant to go where God calls us. Am I being radical? Francis Chan said, what we call radical is what Jesus expected of all his followers. Sharing the gospel, showing love, serving one another, being church together. We call it radical, yet it is what's expected. I'll go bring it into land. There's a verse in Galatians 5, chapter 13, that says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The final thought is this. This week, take every opportunity to serve one another in love. We all have our own needs. We all have our own issues. But let's look past those needs and issues and consider others higher than we consider ourselves. Let's pray that the Lord will empower us and lead us to be his mouthpieces, to be his hands, his feet, and let's be willing to serve him however he calls us to this week. We can trust him, we can love him, and we can show his love to others. Final thought, what are your spiritual gifts? And how are you using them for the Lord? Be obedient, do what he's called you to do, and trust him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love towards each and every one of us. And I thank you that you've called us to serve you in spirit and in truth. And my prayer, Lord, today is that each one of us would be willing to use the gifts that you have given to us. That, Lord, we might bring honour and glory to you. That we might see your church grow. And that, Lord, we might rejoice together knowing that those who are lost are found as they accept you as Lord and Saviour. Give us boldness to share the truth. May, Lord, we always be willing to share your truth in love, but may we never be silent. Lord, I ask that your blessing would rest upon each and every one of us and that you would help us to be the people that you've called us to be until you call us home. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. Amen. Amen.